Today's reading is from Matthew, chapter 24, verses 4 to 14, and then from Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 32 to 39. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. In that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Now from Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 39. "Remember those earlier days after you have received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly awarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." Let's have a small word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that only by your name you are gathering us all together. We are from different backgrounds, traditions, nationalities, educations, and social status, but we realize that through your Holy Spirit, we are only one and called your children. And we thank you for that, Lord. Each one of us is fighting his own battle, has his problems, but you promised that everything will work for the good for those who believe and follow you. And we hope and always believe that this would be the case. Open our mind and heart so that today's message about persecuted Christians reach us very deeply and allow us to concentrate more about this huge problem of your children being persecuted around the world. Our prayers go for the event of next week about Mission Globale, and we pray that you attract so many people around and give them the strength and give them the confidence to keep the biggest of your commission, which is to go around the world and preach about the word of salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I did find a temple news right now, and it says, persecuted, not abandoned. And there's a beautiful verse. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I could give you dozens and dozens of stories and situations that are going on even today in different countries. And I spent a couple of days sort of going through the internet and reading some news pieces about the Christians or the persecuted church. And every time I read a story, I said I should share this Sunday morning. But at the end, I decided that if I would share 10 stories, there would be another 250,000 stories that are not being told. And often in North America and in Europe, we do take for granted our freedoms. And recently at least, very quickly we'll realize that our freedoms are gone. Jesus said that believers would be universally hated and persecuted. He said that an hour, a period of time, is coming when men will even kill believers in Christ because they are serving God. John 16 verse 2 says, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. This is happening today. This happened in the past in the Catholic Inquisition, and is happening today with Islam, under Islam and other religions. In the turn of the century, in the 1910-15, few million people were killed, massacred, mainly Armenians, Greeks and others, because of their faith. And yet it has not stopped. Many in Africa and other countries are being persecuted and imprisoned because of their faith. But the persecution of believers, instead of putting out the fire of revival and spreading of the gospel, it has fanned the flames of the Holy Spirit. You would have thought, after killing so many and imprisoning so many, and after forbidding the Bible being used, and after closing down and burning churches, you would have thought that this would die and Christians will become less and less. But we see just the opposite. The Holy Spirit is fanning little sparks all around the world. There are more believers in China today really devoted and following Christ than ever before. There are in countries where the word of God is being forbidden to be preached than in North America and in Europe. Nothing can stop the Holy Spirit and the fire of revival, except we can hinder that fire, if you wish, by becoming negligent and sort of apathy is the enemy of the spreading of the gospel. Statistics and reports claim that 20th century persecutions were the most severe in the history of the Christian church. According to the World Christian Encyclopedia, 45.4 million Christians were martyred in the 20th century, compared with 70 million Christians martyred and martyrs for all time in the past. In other words, more Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in all previous centuries combined. Other statistics show martyrdoms increasing yearly from 35,000 in 1900s to 171,000 in 2005 to an estimated 260,000 in 2008. More than a quarter of a million Christians were killed in 2008. Attacks on Christians is on the rise. Here in Canada and the US, it is unpopular and politically incorrect to be a Christian. Humanists and other religious groups are branding Christians as intolerant and divisive. Individuals, groups, and even governments want to take away all our religious freedoms and practices. Around the world, Christians face arrest, torture, imprisonment, and even death. In many Islamic countries, converting from Islam to Christianity is punishable by death. But for now, here we are fairly safe. There is no law against being a Christian yet, but we may be teased, ridiculed, and we may lose friends, and we feel this is not fair. Many of us have developed this comfort zone, being a Christian and yet enjoying everything that the world offers. Many of us in North America and other Western countries have compromised our faith to the point that the enemy does not feel the need to persecute and kill us. We have watered down the gospel so much that has lost its effectiveness, and so the other forces, if you wish, or the enemies of Christ do not feel the need of stopping the Christians. Well, a well-known Bible teacher, Dr. M.R. Dehan, once said, "To come to Christ costs nothing. To follow Christ costs something. But to serve Christ costs everything." I'll read that again. "To come to Christ costs nothing. To follow Christ costs something. But to serve Christ costs everything." Jesus said, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me, for my sake, will find it." What is our future then as Christians? Well, when Jesus was asked for signs of his second coming and the end times, he gave his disciples a short list in Matthew 24. False Christians, number one. That is verse 5. False Christians. Why should the enemy worry about Christians when the Christians themselves are being harassed by their own people? And that brings into mind a little story I heard long time ago. Obviously, someone imagined this story, but it makes a lot of sense. One day, someone was going by a huge church, and the devil was right there sitting somewhere. And this man is going by this church, and he sees a lot of people in there, full of people, just singing and doing all kinds of religious things. And there is a little evil spirit, a demon, sitting on top of the church, just resting. And then he continues a little more, And then further down, he sees a little church with not as many people as the one before. And these people were on their knees praying. And they were not really making a lot of noise. And these people were not well organized, but still there were few praying. And he noticed that there was a lot of activity around the church. Many demons and evil spirits were going in and out and up and down. And he goes to the devil and says, "Tell me something. How come that huge church, you only send one evil spirit, one demon, and this little church, you've sent so many?" He says, "You don't understand. That church is mine. They already have surrendered their lives to me without even realizing. But them, that's the problem. These few who are so dedicated and so eager for holiness and reaching out." Well, that's exactly what's happening today. False Christians and false prophets is number two. False prophets prophesy false messages. And false teachers create false Christians, and false Christians then live lives that have been compromised. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus said, that's going to happen in the end times. Wars, he said. You always hear about wars. The fear of war has never stopped. There are always hundreds, if not thousands, of little wars going on around us. But lately you realize that the fear of a great big war is always there. Famines and earthquakes. These things are happening today. Apostasy. Now, I know that some people don't believe in apostasy. Some people don't even believe in evangelism because they say whatever God predestined, it has been predestined, and whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But Jesus was not making a mistake when he said there will be apostasy. Apostasy means, it's from the Greek word, which is a Greek word which means I stay out of line or err. And then Jesus said, there will be increased lawlessness. Please tell me that this is not happening today, lawlessness. When there was a great big revival in Ireland and other places, when the Holy Spirit touched many hearts and people were being converted, taverns were closing down, the police were not as busy as before, and communities were enjoying relatively wonderful peace. But when Jesus moves out of a church, when Jesus moves out of a family, when Jesus moves out or is not in the heart of a human being, then lawlessness takes over. Then in verse 14, we read worldwide preaching of the gospel. This is the only positive thing we see there. A worldwide preaching of the gospel. And the Bible said, until the gospel is not preached everywhere, I will not come. Right now, there are missionaries in places that no one cares to go. Today, the gospel is being preached through satellite broadcast, through radio, through television. Tracts are being printed and sent everywhere. And we hear of the unstoppable Holy Spirit working in Latin American countries, in Asian countries, in African countries. And unfortunately, or sad to say, it seems that we in North America and Europe have abandoned the true faith, and we have come up with religions and and doctrines and activities and churchianity and Christianity that keeps us happy, and the gospel, the cheap, easy gospel is being preached. And so the Holy Spirit, sad to say, is working in countries where he is being received, Jesus is being received. Jesus made it very clear that believers would be universally hated and persecuted. Some will be killed, as it is happening today. In countries where Christians are persecuted, many of them lose their lives and churches. But here, the enemy is more subtle. Christians lose their faith, and the gospel has no effect on people's lives because the enemy has compromised the message. Instead of being burnt or shut down by the enemies of Christ, churches here are torn down by Satan's false prophets and their followers. But even though evil men and imposters are busy deceiving and inventing new and more evil ways to attack the church, the invisible universal church, the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is adding new members to it. The number of believers I was reading the other day in China, true, if you wish to call them born again, converted, surrendered to the Lord, believers in China, is greater than all other believers, true believers. India, Africa, Latin America. The Holy Spirit is adding to the numbers, not because we have sent missionaries. You remember what happened when Samaritan woman was converted, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well and talked to her, and she accepted him as being the Messiah. She went and informed all the villagers that, you know, come and see, I have met the Messiah. When they came and accepted the Messiah as their own Messiah, or when they believed in Jesus, they turned around and they said to her, we did not believe, we are not believing because you said so, because of you, but we have experienced him, because we've seen him, because we've heard him. Well, that's exactly what is happening. The messenger brings a message, and God did use many of us to bring the message. But those who received the message and those who accepted the message did it because they met Christ and not us. In Romans 12, verse 5, we read, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And in Ephesians 5:30, we read, for we are members of his body. And as members of the same body, then, we must be concerned for each other. In Hebrews 13, verse 3, we read, Apostle Paul reminds them, I should say, the believers about the persecuted Christians, and we read, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. How much suffering have you suffered in the past week, in the past year, in the past 10 years? Yes, some of us have been laughed at. Some of us, we've been called holy rollers. Some of us have lost friends or positions. But compare that with a Pakistani man who was traveling and came down from the bus to rest for a while, and he went to a tea shop to get to drink some tea, and he ordered a cup of tea, and when it was given to him and he picked it up to drink it, Some of the Pakistani men there came to him and said, "What are you doing? We see you have a cross here. Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Yes." And they started beating him up. They said, "Don't you know that you are not allowed to touch a holy cup? This is only for our religion." And eventually they beat him up. They beat him up to death. Now compare that with you being laughed at the office or at school. Compare that to 100,000 Egyptian Christians who live and collect garbage to survive because they are Christians. Compare that to the pastor whose building and families and home was burned down because he preached the gospel. We in Canada and in North America and European Christians have lost what it takes, the understanding of being a Christian. What is to be a Christian? Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Yes, to serve Christ costs everything. There is risk involved, but Jesus calls us out of the comfort zone when he tells us to take up your cross daily and follow me. Listen to the instructions Jesus gave to his followers in Luke 10, verses 2 and 3. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Christians of the world should pray for the persecuted brothers and sisters to act on their behalf and to live out the life of Jesus in this needy world around us. Only then we will see a radical change take place in the lives of people. Only then we will see the love of Christ replace the hatred of this world. Yes, the Bible said Christians will suffer, may suffer. But I don't want us to confuse this suffering with the understanding of some people. And when Easter comes, you will notice in the Philippines, you have those Christians, who call themselves Christians at least, beating themselves up and bleeding, some of them, and some of them being crucified, not because they proclaimed the gospel, but because they wanted to suffer, because the Bible says you must suffer. We must not create situations where we suffer just because the Bible said that Christians will be persecuted. The Bible says, what is the sense if you are persecuted for something that you have created, that you have done wrong? But when you are suffering, when you are persecuted for following me, for being a Christian, for gospel's sake, then feel good. You are honored. In closing, I'd like to ask you please to remember those who are being persecuted, those who are imprisoned, those who have lost loved ones for believing and practicing their faith in Jesus. I'm not saying that we should do something radical and start writing letters. If you want to write letters, that's fine. If you want to take placards, that's fine. But what I'm saying is, if we reflect Christ in our daily lives, maybe others will see the difference between a Christian, a true Christian, and someone who claims to be a Christian. And maybe that spark will start a fire here in Montreal, here in Canada, And then many, if everyone who claims to be a Christian, over 2 billion people, would have reflected Christ in their daily life and lived holy lives, I believe this world would have been a Christian world. And yet, God in His goodness and His kindness has protected those true believers, and He is blessing those who are willing to give up their lives. Let us for a moment bow our heads and remember those who are suffering and are being persecuted. Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the good example You have given us to be patient and be willing to suffer. And yet, Lord, You said You will give us the joy that only comes when we turn our lives over to You and when You come into our life and You give us this assurance of our salvation, the joy of our salvation. No one can take it away. No one can kill it. Lord, I pray this morning we all collectively pray for our brothers and sisters all around the world. And there are many right now who are suffering. And they may think that no one cares. And they may think that everyone has forgotten them. And yet we haven't. And many others haven't. And we bring our requests. Have mercy on them and help them and strengthen them and free them if that is Your will. But we also pray for ourselves and our country and our churches and our families. Please help us to understand the commitment that we've made as Christians to You. In Your blessed name I pray, Amen.